I greet you all in Jesus' name. All right, this is the part where you say amen.
Amen.
So I greet you all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I had practiced this yesterday, and I think I'm about to mess it up, but I'll try. Sing Yang Mong Ang, yeah? Sing Yen Mong An. Yeah, okay. Yeah, pardon me, I mean, you can tell I'm not supposed to be speaking that. Now, as part of my sermon, I was supposed to be singing today, but after Matthew's wonderful singing, I didn't want to ruin your eardrums with my horrible singing. But I would like to welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time. And I know that there are some people, and I'm looking directly at them because I helped them to come in. So if there are any worshipers with us for the first time, you could just wave your hands and yes. All right. You're very welcome from UK. I got a little insight, not from the Holy Spirit, but from you. I think the ushers would usually see you afterwards, and the service pastor will make the appropriate announcement a little later. This evening, I've been told that the church would be closing by 6, so I should try to keep my sermon within 60 minutes. I will try to do just that. No, I won't. Where we had our only reading, from, and by the way, forgive me for coming in a dark color. This is the only kind of clerical shirt I know of. So, where we had our gospel reading from John's Gospel, chapter 15, from verse 1 to 8, that's where we're going to be focusing our sharing this evening. But if you do not mind, I'd like us to begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, not as a routine. We come before you this evening not because we have to come before you this evening, but we come before you this evening of our own choice, of our own free will, because you are our friend, our Father, our Creator, and everything to us. Lord, this evening we ask that you will open to us the word of life, and that you will nourish us from your word, that we will grow to be your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, Saturday, we had Deaconess Bessie, who shared from us, and it was all about being born again. Okay. I was just looking there very quickly because we had some trouble concerning picking a topic for today's sermon, so I was wondering if there was something on the screen, but thankfully there isn't. So. And she talked about being born again and the story of Nicodemus and all the teaching. If anyone wants to be God's disciples, anyone wants to be Jesus' disciples, the first step is to be born again. That's the very first thing. You cannot be Jesus' disciple if you are not born again. No two ways about that. And that was very clear. And today we're looking at John's gospel where Jesus teaches his disciples. And my emphasis is going to be on where Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. This is another aspect of discipleship in the Christian faith. We know, and we saw from last week also, that spirit gives birth to spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. In this sermon series, we're looking at discipleship. And I must say that the word means to follow. Discipleship simply means to be a disciple means to be a follower. Now, discipleship is not unique only to the Christian faith. Other religions also have their disciples. Other people, professions, have their disciples. In fact, discipleship in the business term is called mentorship. Let's say there's a mentor and a mentee and all of that. So there's the aspect of following someone who is ahead of you even in life, in all aspects of this life. So other disciples, other denominations, other religions also have discipleship. However, what makes the Christian disciple different? That's what we're going to look at today. Jesus had clearly given us one clear marker earlier, and he said to his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we see the aspect of love in discipleship. Jesus has laid that out clearly. Another pointer comes from Romans 14:17, where Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking," and I apologize to Singaporeans, this is not at you. And in this festive season, that's not what this is about. But anyways, he says, "The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Though this is in a different context, but you will see that all of these qualities are embodied in a disciple. One who is a disciple of Jesus Christ must be a righteous person, must seek after peace, and there must be abundance of joy in the Holy Spirit. These are qualities of a disciple of Jesus Christ. You will see throughout Scripture that there are great pointers to discipleship. Today we will be looking at abiding in the Master. Jesus is very straightforward in his words and in his teachings. Number one, he says, "I am the true vine." In this day and age, and most recently, we have been having discussions about whether Jesus is the only way or not. These teachings are coming up. There's the argument about whether Jesus is the only way or not. And one may want to use the simple illustration of traveling from where I stay in Bukit Timah. There are many ways to Bukit Timah. One may want to say, from Bukit Timah to Cathedral, you can come through PIE or CTE or AAA or whatever. I don't know all your things. Or through the MRT or through the bus or by cycling or on foot. Yes, you could say there are many ways. And I tend to look at it this way. There are many ways to go into a house. There is a door. There is a window. There is a back door. There's the roof, there's the ceiling. But which is the correct way to go into the house? Talk to me, church, come on. The door. And let's be specific here, the front door. Because anybody who comes into my house through the back door, oh, all hell is going to break loose. Because I'm going to yell at the top of my lungs, and I would just do anything that hits you. You invited it on yourself. Now, Jesus is clear. And when he says, "I am the true vine," it would seem that Jesus from that time had already seen what we would be going through today in the argument of how many ways to God. And he says he's not arguing whether there are other vines or not. That's not Jesus' argument. Jesus' point is clear. There may be many vines, but there is only one true vine. Point blank. There are many vines. He doesn't bother about that. But he wants you to know that there is only one true vine. And this one true vine is Jesus Christ. "For no one can come to the Father except through me," Jesus says. It's very clear. Number two, remain in him, and he will remain in you. Don't let your hearts be distracted with all the teachings that we have in these days. There will be many teachings on how to get to God. In fact, when I was in secondary school, we had a man. So let me define this. Not all Pentecostal churches are bad, or new generation churches. Okay? There are genuine ones, and there are those who follow God's teachings. Okay? So let's not write them all off. Okay? And this Pentecostal pastor came to our school and he says, "Today, students, I'm going to teach you how to speak in tongues." That sounded interesting. So let me play the pastor, and you guys will be the students, so that we have a clear understanding of what I went through some years ago. So put yourselves, you don't have to put yourselves in my shoes. I'm putting yourselves in my shoes. It's not of your own choice. So I'm the pastor now. I'm going to teach you guys how to speak in tongues. Are we together? Your response is yes. Aha. So now say after me. You're really going to say after me. Ro. Bo. Ka. Ka. Now say it faster. Ro. Bo. Ka. Ka. Ro. Bo. Ka. Ka. Now you're speaking in tongues. Exactly. I burst out into laughter. I said, "That is totally ridiculous." And if you were not doing it, the man would say, "Aha, we have someone who is possessed by an evil spirit. He's trying to resist the gift of speaking in tongues. He tried to blackmail us into doing it." And because I didn't want to be spotted out as a rebellious person, I was doing it just like everybody else. But the truth is, I was just laughing at this. Because you cannot be taught how to speak in tongues. It is a gift from God, not from man. Not from man. It's a gift from God. And the fact that someone is sitting quietly and worshiping God does not mean that the person is also not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests itself in different dimensions. God cannot be put in a box. And Jesus says, in our point number 2, remain in me and I will remain in you. And one would want to ask, how do we know how to remain in him? How do we know who's a fake teacher? How do we know who's not in line with God? Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 reminds us, the works of the flesh are obvious. They are not hidden. They are very obvious. Except if you're not in the Spirit. But the works of the flesh are obvious. Very obvious. And you know the meaning of obvious. I'll give you an example. If suddenly there was a decree that says all Singaporeans should assemble tomorrow at the Nave at 9 a.m. and you come to the Nave at 9 a.m. and you find me there. Well, apart from good morning, the next thing that is going to come out from your mouth is, "Canon, what are you doing here?" Because obviously, I am not a Singaporean. Very obviously. I don't need to stress out how obvious this is. If you're looking through the screen, you definitely cannot see me very clearly. You need more light. It's very obvious I'm not Singaporean. And that is how the deeds of the flesh are very obvious. They are glaringly clear. They are. An illustration was told to me many years ago of some bankers who were learning the art of banking. And throughout 6 months, they were giving original notes, you know, to go through it and study it, look at it, back and front, feel it, smell it, you know, sleep. Just study the notes. And after 6 months, they got tired and they began to rebel. And they said to their instructor, "If you have been giving us all these original notes and we're supposed to learn how to tell the fake notes, how do we know you've been giving us only the original notes?" And the instructor said, "I'm giving you the original notes so that you get used to seeing the original. Because when you are used to seeing the original, the day you see a fake, You do not need to check twice. You will know. If you are rooted in God's word and the Holy Spirit has filled your heart, the day you hear a fake teaching, the day you hear something that is not part of the vine of Jesus Christ, you do not need the parliament to tell you. You will know. It is that obvious. It is that obvious. Number three, why must we abide in him? Clearly, because apart from him, we can do nothing. It's as simple as that. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 reminds us, for in him we live and move and have our being. A message was sent to me on WhatsApp, and I'll just read it. Wonderful analogy. And the message said, when God wanted to create the fish, he spoke to the sea. When God wanted to create the trees, he spoke to the earth. But when God wanted to create man, he spoke to himself. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. If you take a fish out of water, it will die. When you take a tree off the ground, it will also die. Similarly, when man is disconnected from God, he dies. God is our natural environment. We are created to live in his presence. We must be connected to him, because only in him is there life for man. Stay connected to God. Remember, God is God without man, but man without God is nothing. Staying connected to God, I'll give you three pointers and we close. First of all, soak your life in the Word of God. Soak your life. Study the Word. Read the Word. Meditate on God's Word. The psalmist tells us that he who meditates on God's Word is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Number two, learn to listen to the voice of God through Scripture. Learn to listen to God's word through Scripture. Meditation is wonderful. It's good to have quiet time, just quiet moments. But before you go into those quiet moments, first soak yourself in the Word of God. Because if you do not, the devil can speak to you in quietness also. Animals will begin to speak to you. If you have not learned how to listen to God's Word and you're going into meditation, you will hear other voices. You will. Number three, after you have soaked yourself in the Word of God, and you now know how to listen to God's word, the next thing is to obey his word. Live in accordance to Scripture. Stay connected to God, because apart from God, you can do nothing. Bow down your heads and let us pray. Heavenly Father, this evening, we ask that you will remind us to stay connected to you. In this day and age, there are many voices speaking, but it is your voice we want to hear. It is your voice we want to obey. Lord, help us to remain in you. Because outside of you, we can do nothing. No matter what we achieve in this life, outside of you is classified as nothing. So, Lord, we ask that you will strengthen us and help us to abide in you. Give us the grace to follow you daily. And release your Holy Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.